During the month of December, most of us rush about, perhaps more so than at any other time of the year, all in the name of Christmas. But let us now take a moment and in our minds stand before the crib. What do we experience? Silence. The silence of Mary and Joseph and of the child Jesus. Yet a silence filled with love. A silence and a love into which we are invited and made just as welcome as were the shepherds and the wise men from the east. The Lord reveals himself to us in silence and simplicity. This is at the very heart of the Christmas feast which we have so recently celebrated. That is the true beauty of Christmas. But can we accept God's ways of doing things? In the Gospel of the Christmas Night Mass, we read, Caesar Augustus issued a decree for a census of the whole world to be taken. Even before we hear of Jesus' birth, we are greeted with the imperious demands of an emperor surrounded by the trappings of power and with most of the known world at his beck and call. This stands in stark contrast to the ruler of the universe, who was born in a stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, in a small insignificant village on the edge of the empire. As St. John writes, through him all things came to be. Not one thing had his being but through him. The real majesty of Christmas is revealed in God's ways of doing things. When we consider it, the very ordinariness of Jesus coming into this world is startling. And he continues to choose to come and dwell with us in the ordinary, and to remain quietly near to us in everyday ways. Think of the simplicity of the pouring of the baptismal water, the forgiving words of absolution, and the giving and receiving of the consecrated bread and wine. But do we accept God's ways of doing things? In today's feast, we have another example of the gentleness and humility of Jesus. He stood with sinners, waiting his turn to be baptized by John. In your mind's eye, see Jesus queuing with sinners, standing alongside you and me. And all the time he is whispering to us his Father's words, you are my beloved. God's way is to accompany us in Jesus. And his ways are wonderful. We see that even John the Baptist had difficulty in understanding God's ways. When Jesus came to be baptized, John tried to dissuade him. In astonishment, he declared, it is I who need baptism from you, and yet you come to me. But Jesus quietly and gently responded, leave it like this for the time being. As we look at Jesus, we see that prophecy of Isaiah become reality. Here is my servant, my chosen one. I have endowed him with my spirit. He does not cry out or shout aloud or make his voice heard in the streets. He does not break the crushed reed nor quench the wavering flame. God's ways are simple and they are gentle. All of us have been baptized on some date and in some place. It is good to know the date in which we were baptized and the place in which we were baptized. That day on which we were born into Christ, into faith, and into the Church is surely a date worth knowing. Nevertheless, we can regard this feast of the baptism of our Lord as the official date of our baptism. But some may wonder if baptism is really worth getting that excited about. We know the claim that it makes us members of the Church. At first hearing, it may not sound very exciting, but today's feast gives us an insight as to what it means. As Jesus emerged from the Jordan, his Father spoke from heaven, "This is my Son, the Beloved. My favour rests on him." Baptism is our birth into a family that lives and breathes with God's life. We are God's sons and daughters, his beloved. We really are brothers and sisters. Baptism gives us that sense of belonging. Our family name is Christian. But there is more to it than that. St. Peter reminds us in the second reading that Jesus went about doing good and curing all who had fallen into the power of the devil. He did so with great gentleness and patience. He did not break the crushed reed nor quench the wavering flame. We must do the same and live our baptism in the ordinariness of everyday life, doing good, being the generous hand of friendship to all who call on our help and seek our support, reconciling and healing the grudges caused by sin. That is what it means to accept in Jesus God's ways of doing things. Father, just as you delighted in your Son at the Jordan, delight in us, your baptized sons and daughters. Pour your Spirit upon us, that we may do all that righteousness demands. Amen.